Well, I thought I like multiple clicked something or something. I was like, I don't know if this causes problems, so I had to wait a second to make sure it looked like it was working.
I used my horn yesterday. A little bit of follow-up for you.
Oh, your car horn?
Yes, my car horn. No, I did not break out my vuvuzela.
That's what I was thinking about. I was like, wait, did Mark buy like a trombone or a trumpet? Like some sort of wind instrument?
My bugle finally came in.
I was real confused. Oh my gosh, what happened?
So it was the one situation that I didn't anticipate where I would definitely have enough time to think about what I wanted to do, which was I was at this, it was a three-way stop. So I'm on the like, I'm going to turn left onto the one-way part of the T, let's call it, right? I'm driving along the top of the T, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming from the right side of the top of the T. I'm going to take a left onto the bottom straight part of the T. And there's a car, there's an oncoming car as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I pull up to the stop sign. Like, there's not, like, another car at the stop sign. There's just a car, you know, across the intersection, oncoming, intersecting my left turn, right?
Approaching.
The speed limit here is, like, 25 or whatever. So I do my complete stop. I have my blinker on. And even before I start pulling out of the intersection, I can tell this guy either doesn't know or doesn't care that there is a stop sign in front of him because he's doing like 40.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these aren't ridiculous speeds, but there is just something I could just tell this guy is not stopping at the stop sign. So I kind of pull out just a little bit. I don't even start taking a left. I just kind of pull out a little bit.
Yeah, wheel's still straight.
Yep. And I'm just watching him come towards the intersection, and I wait until the moment he blasts through that stop sign, and I give him like several honks of my horn and then take my left turn.
Nice. Did you feel righteous?
Well, my horn is exactly as paltry as I thought it would be. But I did feel like I made the correct decision that time. One could argue that I could have honked it earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel like there was just, like, he was kind of going fast, so it's one of those things, it's like, I could honk before he gets to the stop sign, I guess, but I'd rather wait until he's kind of, like, mostly past me before I do something, you know? Because if someone is paying this little attention or cares this little about traffic laws, I'd rather not be on the wrong side of that. So,
mm-hmm.
I did it as he was passing and tried to make it as clear as I could with my horn that, hey, you did a goof-em-up.
Hey, that's entrapment, Mark.
Well, whatever.
I don't think that's how entrapment works.
I don't think so. But yeah, so I used my horn, and there you go.
Nice.
Yep.
Thanks for sharing.
My pleasure. I just thought you should know.
Yeah.
I thought you'd like to know. How have you been?
Sorry, I almost sneezed.
No. Not the sound I would have associated with that.
I was like trying to hold it in. I don't know what the sound sounded like to you.
Well, it sounded more like just like a general grunt, like you were moving around, shifting in your seat, but I'll have to wait until I listen back to it.
On my end, it felt kind of like a,
Oh, maybe I only heard that last part.
I there was none of the run-up to it. It was just like the last part, but yeah, the rest of it was just in my head.
I gotcha.
But yes.
Nice.
Yes. Do you ever, sorry, this is a random question. It just came to my mind because I was frustrated about this for more of my weekend than I should have been. Do you ever go to a grocery store for a specific item or a specific set of items and then they just don't have them? Like they normally have them, but they're just like out of stock.
I will say I think I've been mostly pretty lucky around here that I don't run into stock issues or I haven't. I'm sure that has happened to me, whether it's like, I think it's more frequently on the range of this feels like a thing the store should have and I can't find it and I can't even necessarily find evidence that it exists. The one exception being, I would think I was I looking for, I think it was maybe Sriracha.
Yes.
Just like the regular Sriracha brand Sriracha, let's call it.
Yes.
And they didn't have any. They only had like a different brand that was like twice as expensive because they were all out of the other one. So that was pretty frustrating. Or it's like I choose to go to the store at a bad time, so it's like Sunday evening and I want to get produce and that's just a bad idea. So mm-hmm. not a whole lot left at that point in the day. But yes, I would say I have experienced this. I can empathize.
Yeah. Something that I feel like I've...
Was it a peanut butter situation again?
It wasn't like primarily... Peanut butter was fine. Because I was buying peanut butter. And I was buying multiple containers of peanut butter because you've changed me. I don't know for the better or not. But now I stock multiple peanut butters in my house.
Yep.
Because I have come around to recognizing that there are some that are better for different situations. And that's fine. I don't need to be resentful about this. This is positive growth. Positive growth, Grant. And they didn't have necessarily the exact like ones I wanted, but it was fine. I didn't really care.
Okay.
But there were some like bulk spices and stuff they didn't have that I was frustrated about.
Okay, so that actually does that is the one thing that I feel like is often out of stock are spices. Really? For me. Yeah.
When I have like you go.
So it's more common that there's like the McCormick brand is out and I have to go for like the I don't even know organic spice, I guess. I don't know. But it's like, you know, $9 for just like a thing of cumin or something. That happens frequently, but there have been times where it's like I need, I don't know, onion powder and there just like isn't any. Like you can just go scan it and it's like there's no onion powder.
I'll give you one guess what one of the things was that I wanted they didn't have.
Is the onion powder shortage hitting us all, Grant?
It is. It must be one. Yeah.
Luckily we had so some people that Aaron has dog sat for the last year, they moved across the country and they are getting rid of all of their food. And so they asked me, hey, come around and please take literally anything you want. Like, we will shove things at you because we don't want any of this. And so I got we already had a pretty big container of garlic powder. We got an even bigger container of garlic powder from them. A huge container of onion powder, extra flour, extra sugar, barbecue sauce, blue cheese dressing, all unopened. So that was pretty nice. We got a lot of, especially the spices, like a whole thing unopened of smoked paprika, like a big thing. Mm. And that stuff is not cheap.
Because
I use it to make like some of the Indian food that I make. It burns through a lot of smoked paprika and it's expensive to restock. So I was very pleased to have that. So I got lucky that way. But yeah, it's that's the thing I can think of most frequently.
Okay. Yeah. Do you normally buy like the McCormick seasoning stuff when you buy it?
I think we have a mix of brands right now because I'm sure we have a fair amount of McCormick. I just kind of, each time I go to the store, it's just a price comparison. And so I think a lot of the smaller things we get are the McCormick ones, like the half size ones of like, I can't even think right now of some of the stuff we have. But we have that, but we have other brands whose names I can't even remember. I don't think we tend to get McCormick brand of like, we have like sage and oregano and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have McCormick of that. But I think our big thing of garlic powder is McCormick. And some other like, let's just call it like more typical spices tend to be McCormick. And then we have a variety of blends. We have some Trader Joe's stuff as well. And then, yeah, just another random brand.
Yeah. Do you got any of that everything bagel seasoning?
Yes, we got that, of course, because Aaron likes that.
What do you use it on?
Aaron will like, I have no clue. We haven't used it in a while, but I think Aaron will use it on, like, if she has a plain bagel with cream cheese, she'll put some of that on it. If she has an everything bagel with cream cheese, she'll just put some of that on it. toast with cream cheese. She'll, I don't know. Honestly, I think it's literally just for like savory breakfasty things. She'll throw some of that on it.
Okay.
The other thing that we have that we got from Trader Joe's, just kind of on a whim. I honestly can't remember if we've used it yet, but it is everything but the leftovers, and it's a Thanksgiving seasoning.
Mmm.
So at least the list of things on there looks good. Maybe we have had it. We probably made it once with some like air fryer chicken or something. I'm sure it's good, but I know we have some of that from mm-hmm. Trader Joe's. And then also a longstanding spice blend we've had from Trader Joe's is their chili lime seasoning.
Ooh.
Which is just a good thing to have on hand if you're making like tacos or fajitas or something like that. It goes really well, especially on vegetables that you're like sauteing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
We have too many spices, though.
Yeah. I feel like the everything bagel seasoning at Trader Joe's is something that I... Every time I go there, it's one of the, like, products that my eye gets, like, quickly drawn to when I walk by it. And I always have, like, this impulse to buy it. And then I have the impulse of, like, what am I going to use this on? Because, like, I know I love that flavor.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I don't know, like, what to put
maybe
it
on. Like, eggs?
And have, like, the second you said, sandwich? Yeah, the second you said savory breakfast things, I was like, oh, I have to buy this because I have like savory breakfast things more than three times a week.
Yeah.
And he's right. It would work very well for this.
Like you could throw it in with your like rice egg concoction that you like.
Yes, that was one of the things I was thinking of.
I think
or like
last time,
breakfast sandwiches.
I think Erin got, like, I think her mom, like, mailed her some, because I think the last time we went to Trader Joe's, they just didn't have any. It was, like, all sold out. So I think we had it procured some other way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, sandwiches and stuff, that would probably be good.
Not to draw all the way back to things we talked about many minutes ago, but I'm pretty sure there's been, like, a long-running sriracha shortage.
Must be.
Going on. Because it's been, like... Well, I ended up Googling it because I was curious. Because I had the experience of, like, it feels like it's been nearly a year since I've been able to, like, consistently get, like, the green cat. I don't know what it's actually called.
I know what you're talking about.
Like, the sriracha, you know?
Yeah.
And I've been having to opt for all these cheap imitations. Or
more expensive imitations. Which is my issue.
Yeah, I haven't had to go to anything drastically more expensive. It's just like they do taste different.
Sure.
And apparently there is like a legit shortage been going down.
But like, what is it a shortage of?
The types of chili peppers they use.
Okay.
Because there's been particularly dry conditions in Mexico have caused red jalapeno pepper crops to fail. That's the worst I've ever pronounced jalapeno.
That's probably not the worst.
Well, unintentionally. Okay. Like, I've said, like, jalapeno.
Yeah, yeah.
But I, like, stumbled. It felt like I stumbled over it. I don't know. Oh, my God. Wait, what?
Hmm.
According to this article from June 29th, bottles of the, like, sriracha that we're talking about have been selling on Amazon for $123.99.
Oh, wow.
People and listed really on eBay for as much as $69.99. So, like, there's, like, legitness going down here.
Dang.
Yikes.
Dang. And just not, you know, it was only, what, 5-10 years ago that it was, like, sriracha-themed everything.
Yeah. One of the seasonings that I wish I could still find, it was, like, some sriracha grill seasoning.
Ooh.
And it was so freaking good. And I'm certain it's not made anymore.
Yeah.
Cause, like, I just, like, cannot locate it. I tried for a few years, honestly, to like, I was always, like, hunting through the spice aisle, or, like, the pre-made spices area kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just, like, it was so good. It was so good.
Sure.
But...
Looks like Amazon has stuff at regular prices from, like, random third-party sellers.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, something to look into. The thing that we have, this is not sriracha, but it is chili-related, is, that, because, so we have this place near us called Dumpling Time, and their like default sauce, I guess, is a
chili. Did you just say dumpling time?
Dumpling time. Yes.
Oh.
That's the name of the restaurant. They got a bunch of dumplings. And standard on the table is soy sauce and chili oil.
Mm.
And it's really good with the dumplings. And so we wanted to get something like that. What we ended up getting is the... are you aware of Momofuku? Have we talked about this? This brand?
I think... like, I'm generically aware of it.
Okay. So they have a whole bunch of... I mean, it started as just like a ramen restaurant in New York or whatever. But they now have a whole set of just like cooking stuff that they do. And one of them is their chili crunch, which is a chili oil thing with actual chili in it as well. Like that's why it's called the crunch, that you add to stuff. And the first time we used it, we did not realize that it was like several orders of magnitude more spicy than the stuff we have at dumpling time. But now we know, and it means you don't really have to use a lot, but it's still really tasty to add to pretty much any like Asian food.
Mm-hmm.
Just adds a little extra something, a little extra punch.
Yeah, a little bit of something.
So, there you go. Yeah. I think, the sriracha I got was from our fancy grocery store, and it cost me like $8.50 or something like that. But we don't use a lot of sriracha, so it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you go through much like hot sauces or hot item?
Not it's really. It's
delicious.
It's hot. It's really only going to be like non-buffalo spices, essentially, is what I like. I don't like buffalo sauce.
Mm.
And so if we're getting like a buffalo sauce or a wing sauce or Frank's Red Hot or whatever, it's typically for a specific thing that Erin wants to make. So she likes making like buffalo chicken dip, or there's a particular, which I don't like, but there's a particular mac and cheese recipe that we have that's super crazy that needs, I think, both Frank's Red Hot and the wing sauce, maybe just one. And you don't really taste that in the mac and cheese. It just helps, I don't know, do something. But I like that. So that's typically when we buy it. But no, I don't think we go through many like sauces like that. A lot of what we make relies more on like dry seasoning. Mm-hmm. So we'll use cayenne and chili powder and paprika and that kind of stuff. We have this thing called South African smoke, which might also be from Trader Joe's.
Ooh.
That is like a ground spice that includes paprika and chili stuff and other things. I don't know. But it's good. It's really good on like bone and skin on chicken thighs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I think, yeah, we do more dry seasoning stuff than sauce stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the sauce stuff around for if we're making like a pasta kind of thing.
Okay.
Yep. Or some dipping sauce, like Erin likes sriracha mayo kind of stuff.
Yeah.
At times. Which I also do like sriracha mayo as an add-on to certain things. But yeah, we don't go through it very quickly at all.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably make do, like if they made like travel-sized containers of most condiments, that would probably be good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wait, like good for you like long-term or just like?
As in like, so we wouldn't waste so much. Because I feel like our stuff expires faster than we can use it. Even stuff that has a pretty good shelf life in the fridge. We just don't go through it that quickly.
Yeah.
So, okay. Versus spices, like, last much longer, but we also use them more frequently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you just reminded me why I continued asking about spices and flavorings. Because I wanted an excuse to talk about the fact that I've recently gone through, or not recently, like, in the past 5 years, I've gone through a change of, like, when I got spices, I would used to, like, get the little thing of spices and just, like, look for the smallest thing of spices, whatever. Recently, I have come around to the realization that that's not a great financial decision.
Nope.
If it's something that I'm going to use more than just, like, a one-off time, just buy the biggest gosh darn container of the spice you can find.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. because if I'm going to use it more than a few times, it's going to be worth it, because it's normally like $2 more than the freaking like 2 ounce McCormick container, whatever the heck the like little 1 inch tall ones are. And it's like 20 times more of product. And I don't know for a fact, but I have this like deep feeling that it comes off the same processing line.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any concern in terms of comparative quality.
Yeah.
And I think once we have, if we're in a place with a little bit more space, I mean, we already have a lot of kitchen space given the size of our apartment, but we use it up and we only have so much space for our spices. And so we only have the huge containers of the like garlic powder, onion powder, salt kind of stuff, like things that we use like all the time. And then we have like this typical, you know, that whatever 4 inch tall, whatever you want to call them, 3 inch tall, like standard sized containers of pretty much everything else. And then only a few of those half sized ones. Because sometimes if you go to the grocery store, there's certain spices where they only sell it in those half sized containers. That's been my experience. But I know it's at some point in the future, we'll probably switch to getting some of those things like more in bulk, whether that means like, you know, whenever we're living in a suburb and have a Costco membership and we just get like huge things from there, or going to like the random stores that have actual, like, you just get it in a bag or whatever, like buy it bulk by the pound kind of thing. I'm like sure we'll Indian move in that
grocery
direction.
Store or whatever.
Exactly. So for certain stuff, I'm sure we'll move in that direction when it's feasible to do so, but right now I think we're pretty good for now.
You know who else is pretty good, Mark? Herman, by who I'm also going to assume is pretty good, Jim Unger. I don't know, Jim. I don't know how he's doing, but we'll assume he's doing pretty good. Long story short, anyways, I don't know how to transition here. We're set in a beautiful blue day outside. Blue sky, that is. The day isn't blue. That'd be sad. The sky is blue, and there is a big cannon, but not like a war cannon, more like a circus shoot people out sort of type of cannon, labeled Annonball. I assume it's labeled Cannonball, but just wasn't included in the entire frame. And then there is a dude, well, there's smoke coming out of the front of it, and then there is a dude doing a quite glorious double toe hook bat hang off the front edge of the cannon, wearing a quite bold choice of this like magenta full body suit with big yellow stars, a helmet, some like black combat boots, and then it is captioned, I assume, in his voice, "You're not using enough gunpowder, Harry."
Come on, Harry.
Harry needs to get it together.
Rookie mistake.
You gotta use some more You think they use gun? I
was gonna ask this exact same question. Is there a different kind of ignition for a cannon compared to a gun?
Well, like a cannon can't... Well, actually...
Because that was my question.
I just pushed up my glasses, and now I hate myself for this. Depending on where the cannon is placed, you may call it a cannon or a gun. If it's on land, it's a cannon. If it's on a boat, apparently it's a gun.
So the first thing that I'm reading is, a cannon is a large caliber gun classified as a type of artillery.
Dang.
Because I suppose there's also things like mortars, right? Which might more have to do with like...
Those are different, though.
In the modern era, the term cannon has fallen into decline, replaced by guns or artillery, if not a more specific term such as howitzer or mortar, except for high-caliber automatic weapons firing bigger rounds and machine guns called autocannons. But yeah, it seems like gunpowder, or just like the same kind of powder, is just what was used for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like I have memories of like going to demos where they literally like pour powder down it and then like pack it down with a little bit of tinfoil or something.
Yeah, it's like what they did for like single shot rifles, but just big.
Yeah.
Hey guys, what if we made it bigger?
That isn't that just yeah. And then there was certainly a point where they were like, what if we just made it bigger? And then it stopped working because they started hitting like physical limits of materials and it just started blowing up in their faces.
What if we made it faster?
And then it was, what if we science the bejesus out of this?
That's right. The square cube law has screwed us over one too many times. We've got to change our tactics.
Mm-hmm.
So I was curious, Grant, speaking of artillery, have you ever played any of the, like, anything like airsoft or paintball or laser tag or even like Nerf guns? Like, what is your experience growing up or in modern day with that kind of stuff?
Oof. I feel like it's one of my, I don't want to say one of my failings as a person. It's something that I have never really done extensively. Like, I had a Nerf gun growing up, but it was like not one of the like bonkers Nerf gun type things they got now that these days. Like, like it was a like, it's a single shot dart. It came with like four darts and you lost two of them immediately. So now you only got two darts. And so like there wasn't a lot there. Like it was something that I had and whatever. But I've never like, and I've played, there was like some version of like consumer laser tag where like, I'm sure it was like some Christmas, someone was marketing.
You have to like wear the thing on your chest and it's like, it comes with like two guns and two targets kind of a thing.
Yep.
I know what you're talking about. I don't think I've ever played it, but I remember the TV commercials.
I definitely had that at one point.
Okay.
And it was honestly like quite fun.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting very good use out of that Christmas present.
That's good.
I'm also almost certain, looking back on it, that my mom would like strongly disagree and be like, yeah, that was a waste. Like, they never used that. But like, I have fun memories of using it.
That's all that matters.
But it all like hinged on the fact that you were playing in good faith and not just like covering up the small sensor.
Yeah.
That was the big flaw. Mm-hmm. But I've never done laser, or I've never done like actual real laser tag.
Okay.
I've never done actual real like airsoft or paintballing. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I've always kind of wished that I had, because at this point, I hate that I'm a little bit too nervous to do, like, because I just like don't know the like social norms.
Yes.
And the people that I would go paintballing with or something are not necessarily the people that I would like feel comfortable to ask the dumb questions to.
Interesting.
Some of the time. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, there's certain activities, like, I don't know, like, segue back, or like, time travel back, like, 3 years. I have plenty of people in my life who I'd be fine with asking the dumb questions about frisbee golf to.
Sure.
But I don't feel like I have the same thing for, like, paintball or airsoft.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
Have you?
So, I did a lot of with Nerf guns growing up, for sure. I think especially Max and I, and then Max's little brother, we screwed around with Nerf guns a lot, but I also had people in my neighborhood where I screwed around with it, or I just had, I think I only ever had two. I had, like, two of the same, like, six-shot revolver Nerf guns, and I would just screw around with those, like, on my own, like sharpshooting in the basement kind of a thing. So I always enjoyed those, and then I never had an airsoft gun. My parents would never buy one for me, but I had a couple of friends who had a couple options. Like, they had like a couple airsoft pistols and then like a semi-automatic rifle. Might have been full. I think I actually had a full automatic option too. And that was much more of the like, you know, I think we tried a little bit of like playing a paintball kind of thing with airsoft, but like it's not that fun because like when you get hit, it's hard to play it at a distance, but you don't really want to play that closely. It's not obvious when you get hit. You just kind of have to tell someone. oh, mm-hmm. hey, I got hit, because it's they're tiny. And if you're playing far enough away, the things are so small that they're like affected in the air, and you can just like watch them coming at you. So it's much more of a, hey, can I hit this thing kind of a game. And then I went paintballing exactly once. And that was when I would have been maybe 13, would be my guess, 13 or 14. My older sister's friend wanted to go paintballing for her birthday. Cool. So she and her friends all went, but also my sister's friend's little brother was friends with me. He was younger than me, but, you know, we still hung out and stuff. So he asked me to come along. So it was like my sister and her friend and all their friends, probably like 6 or 8 of them. And then the little brother and I, and then the friend's dad. And that was the crew that went paintballing in like an outdoor paintball area. And that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I had a blast doing that, because like, especially I don't think I would enjoy the like urban paintball, like the close quarters, you have all the like the blow up obstacles. Like, I don't know if you've ever been on ESPN in the dark of night as a teenager when they do things like show paintball highlights.
No, nope.
But I have, and the way that they do it, it's either in a completely enclosed space or on like kind of like a football field, and there's a very confined area, and there's just huge blow up obstacles. So it's more like urban tactical, hide behind, poke up, shoot. But there's like maybe 2 or 4 total people, like on the field, let's call it. And mm-hmm. that doesn't look like fun at all. But this place that we went to was set up like a, I don't know, like almost like an active war zone in the woods kind of thing. Like, you're in the woods, but there's also random little bunkers. So there were 2 different play sites. One was like way more in the woods with like a creek running down the middle, and you're playing capture the flag. And there are like random little bunkers where you kind of hide out and try and like sharpshoot people, or you could try and make a mad dash for it at times. And then there was another one that was more like a real fake rundown town kind of thing. So like mm-hmm. with broken walls and like stuff out of like a Call of Duty map or something like that. But you're just playing paintball. And the other thing that this is where I'm going to get at the big difference. I think paintball would be super fun for like a group of our friends to go do, because it's just like you get to pretend to be cool, you know, like you get to pretend to be like, ooh, I can like, you know, hide behind corners and like do all this stuff that you see from like TV and movies, you know. And most of it's meaningless, but if you do get something off, if like I felt the coolest when I literally like army crawled out of a bush to save my older sister from getting shot from someone else on the other team, because she was like dead in the rights of someone, and I like crawled out of a bush and hit this person in the back, and like I've never felt cooler than doing that. But you only want to do it with friends, because the other thing that this particular place put on, mm-hmm. they did like a literal like a D-Day style recreation battle every year, where you literally like there were people who were defending this fake town, and then there were people that they would load on duck boats and land onto a beachhead.
Wait, like actual?
Like actual fake duck boat. Like not, oh my too, gosh. Not like huge ones, I'm sure, but like they were proper, like, you know, sea to land craft. That you would like land mm-hmm. on a beachhead, actually like go over this body of water, land on a beachhead, and try to establish it and take this town.
That's hardcore.
But that was like a huge group of people, like a bunch of random strangers, you know.
Yeah.
And that has no appeal to me, because I just don't trust people, you know. Mm-hmm. But if it's like you get to rent out a space and there's like a big group of people that you trust and you just want to have fun with, and it's like just good competition. It was so much fun, and I still have very good memories of that, and that was like 14 years ago or whatever. And I've done laser tag once. I was lucky enough to have a birthday party at the Brunswick Zone once,
mm-hmm.
And we did laser tag, and that was like fine. But that was, you didn't rent the space there. I don't think you were just like playing laser tag with a bunch of random people, including your friends.
Yeah.
And so that was like, all right. But it's very frustrating in the same way that like when you go to like Disney World or Disneyland and you play the like Buzz Lightyear shooting game and you're like, am I even like, I don't know if you've done this or any of these kinds of games at Disney where you're like, you just have this little like laser shooter thing. I mean, you had your laser tag thing. You get how it goes. Half the time you can't even tell if you're shooting someone. And if you are, how far away are you from like actually hitting their target? Like, what's the precision required here? You know? Mm-hmm. So that's the frustration with laser tag versus paintball. It's just like, no, if you're within like 150 feet, if you take a shot, you have a pretty good sense of where it's going to go and you can see it. You know, it's slow enough that you can kind of track it. So you can get a, you can make an adjustment. And so people have like, you know, you kind of know what's coming, but fast enough that it's not like, you're not just like lobbing things at people, you know, like it is a projectile.
Mm-hmm.
So highly recommend paintball if you ever get a group together to do it. But yeah, everything else, I think Nerf guns are still pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a very distinct memory of, we had this hallway in my basement as a kid.
Oh.
And I would like shoot through the hallway at other things. And in particular, my little sister had this like fake wooden fridge, you know, just like playing house stuff.
And I was like, fake wooden fridge.
Yeah. And so when you open it up, one of the top, there's another door for like a top compartment. And the top of the door, the way that you got it open, there was just a hole. And you just, you know, that was just like the handhold, right? Mm-hmm. And the hole was like, I don't know, like, I guess the size of like a half dollar. It was probably just a little bit, it was probably a little bit bigger than a quarter, but not by much. And I remember grinding out, like being on one end of this hallway and using my revolver to just like fire shots at this one hole until I finally got it in. And this was probably like a good 30 feet. Which for a Nerf gun, mm-hmm. Hey, that was a good shot. It took, I don't have any memory of how long it took me, but I remember being very enthused that I made it and then very upset when my sisters didn't believe me.
That's the worst.
It's like a batch rejection by Gary McKee. We have someone, a man who looks kind of like angry is how I read his minimal facial expression. Angry or frustrated, probably just not a great person to talk to, standing in front of a help desk at what is either a library or a bookstore, talking to a well-meaning person, a woman who is, you know, has her hand under her chin. Maybe she's exasperated. Maybe she's listening attentively. Hard to tell. And this guy is saying, what book would you recommend for someone who doesn't like books?
I don't know how I feel about the tone that you used.
What book would you recommend for someone who doesn't like books?
That makes me more comfortable asking my next questions, because the tone at first felt kind of abrasive.
Well, this guy looks abrasive.
He does look abrasive, you are correct.
This guy is like, hey, my girlfriend said I should read some books.
That's not the tone you used. The tone you used was, all the girls on Hinge say, I'm not interesting because I don't read. What are some books I could read?
I don't think that the difference in situation is a difference in kind.
I think that's the difference. The same thing. Nah. I think that's a fundamental difference.
Oh, well. Either way.
Anyway. No, I was hoping to ask you about, if you ever ask for recommendations from
just in general?
Who work places.
Oh.
And what are your feelings about that in general?
Oh,
or
man.
Specifically?
Well, okay. I would ask for recommendations at places that serve food and drink.
Okay.
I very rarely ask for recommendations anywhere else. Now, it does depend. So, actually, I think I have a rule of thumb here in my mind. I think the smaller the establishment or like the more personally run it is,
mm-hmm.
I'm way more likely to ask for recommendations because some part of my brain has an implicit sense that the person I'm talking to is more likely to actually care
yeah.
than someone else. So, for example, whenever I've talked to people at Guitar Center, sometimes they're like, fine. I still think I'm not old enough that they take me seriously, even now. And they just sort of are not that helpful or attentive. Versus I went to a local music shop and the guy was like he wasn't like amazing, but he was just like easy to talk to for the most part. Just gave me some options about what I was looking for. Just like cared, you know. If I go to Barnes & Noble, a lot of people who have Barnes & Noble probably care about stuff. But like, you know, if I'm going to Barnes & Noble, first of all, I kind of have a sense of what I might want, or I'm just kind of poking around and I can find the sections I care about. And there's a lot of signage trying to guide you towards the things that they want you to buy anyway. Versus there is this small bookstore up in the hill near us. I haven't actually been to, but in my head, I've been wanting to go there and just be like, for example, tell them, hey, I just finished reading all of The Expanse. Like, do you have like another thing that I should try reading? Because I think that would be a fun conversation to have with someone there. Because the three people that they probably have employed at this small random bookstore on a corner of a street are just a little bit more invested, I think. Mm-hmm. So that I think is like the rough thing in my mind. A smaller, more personal establishment, I think I'm more likely to feel okay asking for recommendations versus in a larger store. I kind of want to just be left alone to do my shopping.